It's Thursday, June 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Having a great show for you tonight, folks. Got a lot to talk about, lots of tech, lots to share. And boy, I'm just, it's a nice night here in Honolulu, and happy to bring you the show. So you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and we're coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, we encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out all of our variety of archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. But the shows have grown. We've grown into quite, I guess, the smorgasbord of tech shows at Geek News Central. Just today, a new edition or new episode of The Gadget Professor was released. So definitely want you guys to get over there and check it out. This is episode number 10. He talks about the iFi wireless SD card and also something called PowerSource 100. You'll have to check that out. Of course, we had another edition of the Robot Underpants that was released on Monday. This Saturday, we'll have the Saturday morning tech show. So we'll have another tech show coming at you Saturday morning, starting at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. And of course, I'm here with you every Monday and Thursday night for a Tuesday and Friday show release on the internet. Well, I tell you, it's been a busy week. Can I say any more S or Z's anymore? But things are good as things are winding down. I am excited for the weekend because I take my finals and then I am finished. No more school. And all I got to do is walk and pick up my graduation papers and woohoo! You don't know how much it's just like this 500-pound weight coming off my shoulders. Right now, I know there's no way I can fail, even if I fail the final exam. So that's a pretty good feeling. I'm not going to fail them, of course, but feel pretty good about that. But I tell you, I want to welcome the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners to the show. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Of course, thank you for staying and subscribed and sharing the show with your friends, family members, people that you know. And tweeting about stuff that we've got going on at GNC. Of course, we got a lot of great writers at Geek News Central. And we've been working with them quite a bit here in the last couple of days, talking about some new initiatives. And I'll talk about that here in a few moments. Well, actually, nothing about the new initiatives, but we've got an opening. So I'll talk about that. If you're new to the show, I want to encourage you to get subscribed. And really, you can do it via the Zune Marketplace, via iTunes, via an RSS feed. On the website, and you can find that real easy. It's just a piece of cake. Come over to GNC. You're going to find that orange box on the second column of the website. Basically says subscribe and show page, and you'll see all the RSS feeds there, whether it be audio or video. And, of course, you'll be able to get access to the show that way. And also, I want you to pay attention to a new little thing down here on the website called rewards. You'll see this this little flag there. And we'll talk about that and the company that's providing that here a little later in the show. But get subscribed, sign up for the newsletter as well. You'll find a link to it at the website. And the newsletter will contain everything that I cover in the show. I'll email that out immediately following the conclusion of tonight's recording. And you'll have all the information about what I've covered in the show, including all the listener links, all the stuff that I've covered, and any extra notes I put in there. So it's not a discussion newsletter. It's a one-way email blast to you so you don't have to worry about getting spammed. Well, of course, we're up live right now on our custom stream at live.geeknewscentral.com. We're also up on Ustream as well on our channel over there and being simulcast on multiple sites at this very moment. So we want to welcome you, all of you that are watching the show live right now, this late in the evening. Of course, you can watch us at any time on the Roku or Boxy. And, of course, all glass, basically, any place that the show is. We've got an Android app out there that's called the Blueberry app that the show's listed in. Download that. Of course, lots of other shows there as well. And lots of stuff coming in the pipeline. I'm pretty excited about it. But most importantly, if you've got comments on tonight's show, you can call our show hotline at 619-342-7365. Sound off. Talk to me about what you think about the show or even put in your own commentary. And, of course, if you want to email me, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, I want to thank everyone in a big, big way. Had a email come in from my GoDaddy rep this morning that basically laid out the performance that we had in May. And thank you. That's all I can say to every single one of you that went out and either got one of those cool upgrades on the hosting accounts. Wow. Nowhere in my imagination could I even have imagined that we would have done the numbers that we did. I mean, it was by far the biggest month in the 6-year history of GoDaddy sponsoring this show. Thank you. That's all I can say. It was unbelievable. And I about fell out of my chair, and it's going to really go a long way in helping support the show. And I'll be honest with you, if I could have 12 months of that, I could hire someone immediately for coming here as an assistant. So it was that big. And I want to thank all of you for your support. And of course, we got another great deal going on this month. This is a special offer. And actually, we got a 1-week deal where you're going to be able to get .co, the .co domains, for $9.49. Okay, this is a 1-year offer, $9.49. All you got to use is the code Geek949, Geek949, when you get over to GoDaddy.com. There's information about it at Geek News Central. All you do is search for GoDaddy, and you'll find the full information. And of course, the listing of the promo code is at our GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy page. But we've also got another offer as well. For the entire month of June, we're making it available for you to register, transfer. Here's the offer. Get free private registration, a $9.99 per year value, when you register or transfer one or more domains, no quantity limit, by using the promo code GEEKFREE. Now, this is cool. So you get a free private registration. So when you register a .com, a .co, or whatever it may be, when you register that, okay, that domain name, and you want a private registration, and you add that to your cart, and this is the beauty. You just add it to your cart when you're going through the checkout process. They'll give you that option, I think, in the second screen. And when you get to the checkout counter, enter the code GEEKFREE, and you get that private registration free, $9.49. And I have a number of domains registered privately. And the reason I do that is because I don't want people to know about that I own the domain or maybe even the website. It allows me to do some things that I wouldn't maybe necessarily be able to as a public figure online. So that Geek Free will get you that free private registration which is a $9.99 per year value with any purchases when you register or transfer one or more domains. And there's no quantity limit. That's the beauty. So if you register 20 domains this month, register or transfer, no quantity limit, you get all those private registrations free. Now, just as a reminder, you can drop that at any time. So if 1 year from now you say, okay, I really don't need the private registration, you can drop that. You don't have to renew it. That's an optional thing that you add onto the account. But it's a big deal. So anyway, all these codes are over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. And to all of you, to all of the Ohana, all I can say is thank you so much. I mean, it was huge. It really, really was. And my wife, I came home, I told her, and she's like, what? So, woohoo! And it's just shows that this show continues to grow and we're blowing the doors off a lot of stuff. Hey, on Tuesday, just some info here real quick. My wife had minor hand surgery. So she didn't just got a local, and her trigger finger, second time she's had it operated on. She's doing good and getting good in motion with her hand. So I hope that continues to heal up and be fine. Also, the audience survey, you see it in the geeknewscentral.com on the second column of the website, or see it in the show notes. It's also included in the newsletter. Please go ahead and fill that survey out. We're getting great response. I need about 500 more responses before I really get the sampling number that I want. So we need about 500 more of you. So if you haven't participated, please go do that right away. And that way we'll get a good sampling for the show, see where we're at right now. And then I'll shut that thing off and you guys won't be bothered by it. So go, and it takes 60 seconds. It's a 60-second survey. Click, 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 click. I mean, it's real easy. It really, really is. Again, Gadget Professor, new shows out online. And thanks for that. I want to talk about a new show that, believe it or not, I have decided to do. You guys know that I'm really excited about Chrome, and specifically Chromebooks and the Chrome operating system. So I've decided to launch a new show called The Chrome Show. And I figure what we're going to do is we're probably going to record that Saturdays as well, immediately following the Saturday Morning Tech Show. We'll roll right in from one show to the next. And I'll probably have guests on from time to time. We're going to launch that in a couple of weeks. And matter of fact, my Chromebook is ordered. I was able to advance order a Chromebook. Got an invite by Google to do that. So we'll see. And I'm going to be looking for additional people that have Chromebooks to come on the show. And we're going to be talking about everything Chrome. Now, I may find out whether or not we're going to have enough content. That's my main challenge. And we'll know pretty soon whether or not we're going to have enough content to make that show rock for a long period. But look forward to bringing that show to you here in the future. Okay, what else? I think that's it. One thing we want to remind you here is that Citrix, GoToMeeting, longtime sponsor here at the show. And, you know, part of my day job is, of course, talking with customers and clients and working in the new media space for Raw Voice and doing everything that we do over there. And matter of fact, we just signed another deal today. So we're not going to announce, it's that advertiser's not coming to this show. But we've been making great strides, and a lot of it is attributed to the ability for my team, which is spread out across the country. I've got one of our guys in New York. Three of our team members are in Columbus, Ohio. One is in Michigan. Actually, two are in Michigan. One is in Denver. One of the guys is coming back to Ohio, so we're going to have four in the Columbus area. So we're spread out all over the country. Of course, I'm here in Honolulu. So meeting with clients has to be virtually. And Citrix GoToMeeting really allows us to save money, save time, know how to fly somewhere. And it really, truly is the absolute best web conferencing solution that's out there. It's simple, and you can run and organize a meeting in just instantly. You know, basically start at Meet Now, and it launches. You tell the person the code to jump in with you. You can use your webcam microphone to talk back and forth. You don't even have to be hanging onto a phone, so that you can use your hands and your keyboard to show the client what you need to show them. And what's special about this whole application is that you get to try it for free for 30 days. All you got to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com, click the orange Try It Free button. And when you get in there, you're going to find that basically you put your name, your email address, and the promo code podcast. And you're going to get a free 30-day trial. If you haven't done that, do that now. We're getting ready to close down the Citrix GoToMeeting campaign here for a while. And so this is probably one of your last opportunities before the end of the quarter here to get a free trial and do that on me. And we appreciate all of you that do. And I think you're going to love the application as much as I do. So again, get that free 30-day trial. GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and enter the promo code podcast. All right, lots of stuff in the stack here for you tonight. Let's get right into the tech. And let me make sure I'm getting rid of some extra boxes here that I don't need. And make sure I got everything covered in this. Oh, one more writer. I'm looking for one more writer for Geek News Central. I'm thinking the budget's going to allow one more. So if you are wanting to come on board and join our team of writers, we got some great incentives that we've just introduced for our writers. And those that are in there now that are static about what we've introduced. So I'm taking applications. I need one writer. Send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me why you want to write for the site. Send me some links to some sample articles. If you haven't ever written for a blog before, submit me two articles with your, basically your introduction, and tell me about yourself. And we'd be more than happy to bring on one more. This is a paid position. This is a paid writing position. It's a per, you basically get paid on a per article basis, and something you can do on a part-time basis. If you're, you know, got a full-time job, you don't have to worry. You can do this after work or before work, whatever it fancies you, during lunch. No minimums, no pressure. So looking again for one more writer. So send me an email here at geeknews@gmail.com. All right, lots going on in the tech world. And let me go ahead here and I'm doing something new tonight. I've been shunning away from using Firefox as my main browser of choice during the show, primarily because it was just so doggone heavy in its bandwidth, or actually memory utilization, that I really kind of shied away from it for a while. So back to using it tonight. We're going to try it with a new version and see how it goes. Hey, the first article up is actually an article that's over at GNC that was written by Susabel. And she's got a great article here talking about, is it the browser or the people using the browser? And what this is in reference to is the recent announcement by Google that Gmail accounts had been hacked, and by some upper-level U.S. officials and some company executives. So, you know, they're not saying a lot. But what that appears to be in some of the articles that are talking about this is that it was done through phishing. Basically, people were tricked into giving up information they shouldn't have. So, you know, here's the thing that we've got to really think about. Are people that dense at this point in the game? You know, she has a good analogy here. If she leaves her car unlocked, full of things like her GPS device or iPod or digital camera, you know, she expects when she goes into a store in a parking lot, when she comes out, if she leaves that stuff in there, and especially if she leaves the car unlocked, that stuff's going to be gone. And we really can't complain if someone stole our stuff. We can complain about it, but it was our own idiotic fault, right? So, you know, if you let a crook into your living room, you can't complain that he stole your television. And the same thing goes about our login credentials to a variety of websites. We're going to talk here in a few minutes about how Sony, once again, has been hacked again with another 1 million email accounts and their passwords that were stored on their servers, not encrypted, just in a plain text file. And so that's crazy enough. But be careful when you're out in online and, you know, you're getting prompted for a password reset. You know, so easy to get sucked into thinking you're on the right site. I make it a habit many times before I go read email. I'll close the browser, especially if I'm going to go read web email. I'll close the browser completely. I'll bring it up. I'll type gmail.com in there fresh. I'll hit the link. You know, nothing is perfect, but there's all kinds of things that we can do. So be suspicious anytime someone's asked for your username or password, especially if you went to a site and entered it and says, oh, we didn't get that. You did that wrong. Enter that again. And you put it in and you're still, you know, just be careful and make sure you're not using the same password on multiple sites. But she did a good write-up on this, so I have a link up for you in the show notes to check out. Well, I tell you, hearts have to go out to the folks in Germany who are really suffering by this new E. coli strain, and it's scary stuff. I just wanted you know to really, if you guys aren't paying attention to this, this new food poisoning has claimed the lives of 17 people so far. And those who are sick, it's being reported, may have been infected with a mutant strain of E. coli that produces, this is going to sound gross, a super glue to make it extra deadly. In other words, it's the byproduct of this is it's making it almost impossible to kill, and it's attaching to the intestines and different areas and affecting different, and this is what's killing people, is it's affecting the liver and the kidneys, and it's not good. So keep your eye on what's going on with this. I know health officials here in the United States and elsewhere are watching this real close, but no current antibiotics are treating this. And so it says this superbug is resistant to most common antibiotics. Now, there's a lot of antibiotics out there that aren't so common, so maybe they're having some effect. But I have this link up, and this was an article that was over on Gizmodo. Okay, as we talked about on Geek News Central, you guys see this new little flag down here that says rewards. When you're on the website, when you click that, oh, what's going on? How come it, well, maybe it's not working. Oh, that's not good. So let's go back to the home page and see if I can get it to work, to pop up. And we'll click on that. Here I was bragging about this thing. And we'll see if it actually loads. But what this is from a website, and it's not cooperating. So that doesn't bode well for this new service. So maybe we'll have to pull it down. But there is a new website out there called PunchTab. And PunchTab wants to be a blogger's best friend. And what it does, it's a new loyalty marketing startup. And it's from the same folks from YouSendIt. And what they're doing here is if you are on my site or another person's site and you see this this little link, when you click that, what's supposed to happen, again, what's supposed to happen is that you're supposed to have a little pop-up there, and it's going to tell you how you can be rewarded by making comments, liking the webpage. Oh, here we go. Let's bring you back. It says, earn Geek News Central loyalty points for daily visits, comments, Facebook likes, and more. And you can redeem your points for great prizes. And all you got to do is click on the link below. It's a Facebook link where you can become a member. And what I'll be able to do with this, and what's cool about this for any blogger, is that I can set up specific giveaways that are going to be tied directly to the website. Now, you can earn stuff through their reward system. And it's basically funded by the folks at PunchTab, or I can set up custom rewards where we'll set up a contest for, let's say, an Xbox, or we'll give away an iPad. Oh, we're not allowed to give away iPads anymore. We'll talk about that a little later in the show, where I can give away a prize, and it'll be very transparent. It'll be on the website, be set for a certain time. Certainly, if you do certain things on the website, we'll qualify you. This is really, really cool. So we're going to try this. We're going to see how it works and see, and we're going to run our own contest and give something away. We'll probably start that next week because we do have a contest going on right now from this show, and we're going to read those entries at the end of the show tonight. But we're going to start a new reward or contest. It's basically going to be web-based and encourage you guys to come over to the website on a daily basis and contribute and read the articles. And interface with us on a more often basis. But anyway, we'll be talking about that. But anyway, if you want this for your own website, go to punchtab.com. And the source article for this, I found this, was over at gigaohm.com. Now, one thing every homeowner wants to do when they buy a home is they want to make sure that they move into a neighborhood that is relatively safe and has, you know, good parks and good access to, you know, shopping and everything else. The folks over at Trulia, The folks over at Trulia have basically now launched a section of their home shopping, and all these different types of things that you're looking for on Trulia is a crime map. And this is pretty remarkable on what they have accomplished here. Is that now you can visualize the most dangerous blocks in your city, choose to stay away from them or know the danger of going into them. Also, you'll know what's going on from a robbery perspective on your site. And I've got a little YouTube video here, and I'm going to go ahead and play that real quick for you. And then we'll comment on what this is basically talked about during it. So let me go ahead and play this.
Whether you're looking for a new home, Whether you're looking for a new home or trying to get to know your neighborhood a little better, knowing the ins and outs of where you live is important. And we know that when it comes to your safety, you want to know what's happening on your block and in your neighborhood. That's why Trulia built Crime Maps, a mapping technology that visualizes where crimes happen most, what types of crimes you'll likely see on every block, and when they happen. From the mundane to the most serious of crimes, Trulia has it all mapped out in a simple-to-use and easy-to-understand way. Find your neighborhood or a neighborhood that you're interested in and talk to other locals about what's actually going on. With Crime Maps, it's all about helping you understand what's really happening on your block, across town, or down the street. To learn more, check it out at trulia.com/crime.
So here you've got a site that's been primarily set for real estate, but now it's going to give you insight into what's going on in your city. And I think this is really cool. Now, there's lots of different sites that do this as well. These sites are not like everyblock.com and spotcrime.com, who've been basically doing crime statistics as well for a while. And those have been available for a long time. But this actually brings it into a little tighter area. And then basically, if you're looking for a home, this might be a good thing to use as an additional tool. So I thank folks over at Gizmodo for this one. Now, if you live in Malaysia and you say something bad about someone that turns out to be defamation, and you are convicted of defamation of character, and you've done this defamation on the Twitter, a judge has just sentenced a punishment in which the individual must essentially apologize 100 times on Twitter. Here's what he says in his 39th post. 39 of 100, I've defamed Blue Incorporated Media and Female Magazine. My tweets on their HR policies are untrue. I retract those words and I hereby apologize. So this is, this is something he had to do on his Twitter account 100 times as part of his punishment. And this was part of the settlement. And he began the apology today at 9 a.m. His time will continue until June 4th, which is, of course, Saturday. And so this is a little unique from a punishment standpoint on what they have accomplished here. So be careful out there. This may be the new way to for companies to extract some pain on people that defame them and it basically win a judgment against them. They have a Samsung Smart TV. I bought one of their Blu-ray players this weekend and hooked it up and been playing around with it. And because we got something coming to Samsung soon, it's been a long time coming, but we're finally going to have a channel on over there. And what we found is there's a new app out there. It's a new iPad. Excuse me. If you have a Galaxy 2, not an iPad, if you have a Galaxy 2 tablet and a Samsung Smart TV, you're going to want to go download Smart View. Smart View is available on the Android Marketplace, and this app's going to let you stream content from your Samsung TV or Smart TV platform onto your Galaxy 2. You'll be able to hand off. It's pretty cool, and you don't have to have a TV. Again, you have a Blu-ray player, but you can walk away from the television with your Galaxy 2 and watch the content. So essentially, SmartView can also act as a remote with a program guide with the ability to change channels and even add even more functionality as well. So this is a cool new service for those of you that have a Samsung Galaxy 2 and one of their devices that has Smart TV built in. So keep aware of that. Hey, as we talked about a little earlier in the show, Sony has been hacked again, Sony Pictures specifically. So if you had an account over at Sony Pictures, 1 million passwords have been stolen. They put a portion of those, about 50,000 of them, on the internet, and people are confirming that these are legitimate email/passwords. Some of the information was even more sensitive. On top of that, the group has blurted out over 20,000 Sony Music coupons from their admin database. So, boy, oh boy, people continue to wreak havoc on Sony. And once again, these were usernames and passwords that were stored in a non-encrypted file, which is completely disgraceful. And, you know, you got to put something in a database. It's just a switch. It's a single switch to make the password encrypted. What is wrong? What is wrong with Sony? How many more punches to the face are these guys going to take before they realize they got a big problem? I hope that someone over there has been fired. Whoever their system administrator, their whole IT department should be fired. Unbelievable. You know, I run a small company. And we, you know, believe me, we don't have a big IT staff. And, you know, we're really sensitive and worried about passwords and people's user information. And because we, you know, we've got a lot of stats data, you name it. We, you know, it's really something that we, and no one's saying, I'm not saying that we're perfect, you know, that anything can be penetrated, but we encrypt the passwords for goodness sakes. You know, what do you guys think? Is Sony, do we have to put Sony on the boycott list again? You know, we did that before, right? When they did that rootkit fiasco. But is it time? Is it time once again to put Sony on the, I'm not going to play with you no more. I'm not going to do any business with you. I'm not working with you. You know, last time we did it for 2 years, right? Is it time to do that again? Those of you who've been with me from the beginning, I want to hear what you think. But this is, you know, again, another million people. Data has been exposed. Maybe it's the same people again, but I'm thinking to myself, do I have an account over at sonypictures.com? I don't even know. Many of us can't even remember where we have accounts. Just use a different password everywhere, please. Please, please, please. Email me your thoughts at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Apple. Boy, oh boy. You know what? They're all talking security. They made sure that they got your, you know, this data tracking stuff locked down. You know, Apple's been in a rush to, you know, talk about privacy and their iPhone and it been, you know, talking about their location handling concerns and so forth. But today, according to the folks over at Engadget, they let it slip that they've been working on a crowdsourced traffic database. Now, and I'm reading from the Engadget article, now a patent application dating from 2009 has been made public, which suggests Apple is thinking this technology not merely as an add-on to the iOS maps, but as something which could feed into other areas such as calendars and alarms. So they're going to be sending you how long it's going to take to get from point A to point B, maybe even saying, hey, you got a, you know, a little restaurant here along the path, maybe you can stop at. You know, when will this, it's just unbelievable. So Apple apparently wants to make your calendar sensitive to location and traffic, quote unquote, to get you there on time. But what else are they going to use that for? They don't care about privacy. It's just lip service, I think, sometimes. AT&T made a huge statement today, and this was over on CNN.com. They basically have said here that they are going to take at least 2 to 3 years to catch up to Verizon in their 4G capability. Now, this is remarkable that they would say this. Ron Chapalos Verdes, AT&T's data network won't be on par. This is where this announcement was made, with the Verizon Wireless until 2013 or 2014. AT&T's mobility CEO, Ralph De La Vega, said on Thursday. As we all know, AT&T has yet to launch its fourth generation cellular technology, but it does have some plans apparently to do it in the second half of this year. Of course, we know that the 4G LTE service is going to be launched in Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. But, you know, they're like 7 months behind on Verizon's rollout. And, you know, it's just amazing. They're going to be that far behind. And yet they continue to make all these advertising claims about being a fastest network and so forth. But that's amazing. Verizon's plan to cover 97 to 90% of its 4G network here in about over the next year or two. And AT&T, again, is going to be 2 to 3 years behind that. So, all right. You know, what? Of course, we don't have a 4G Verizon phone yet either. We'll see what happens at WWDC next week, where Apple is expected to make some announcements, but probably about not about the iPhone. Now, this one will upset you. And you guys know, we've talked about this many times on the show. You know, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. Or if you can't pay the fine, don't do the peer-to-peer. And a new lawsuit that has shown up shows signs of a pirate honeypot. But you're going to be blown away what they've done. An individual wrote a letter to his judge that was proceeding over his case on this peer-to-peer where this guy had supposedly downloaded a movie. And here's the thing. He said, on 5/31/2010, I downloaded a music file from the eDonkey network that was labeled Ryuichi Sakamoto, the best of Ryuichi Sakamoto, a music album by an award-winning Japanese composer. The file actually turned out to be a pornographic movie apparently produced by the person that suing me's client, and he goes on to name the group. So essentially what's going on here is that even though the company that is suing this individual, okay, what the lawyer that's suing or the lawyer firm that's suing this individual on the behalf of the adult film manufacturer knows that the file downloaded was named something else other than what he downloaded. So the title on the file was basically said it was Ryuichi Sakamoto. That was, and it was a music file. And when he got it downloaded and he launched it, instead of it being music of this Japanese composer, it was an adult film. So they've sued him. Titan Media, the one that's made the adult video, fully aware of the fact that the woman who downloaded this mislabeled file clearly wasn't trying to infringe on their content. And they're asking for a settlement of $1,875. I've never heard of a copyright holder that has gone after people who've downloaded mislabeled copies of their work. Now, apparently, this is not an isolated incident with Titan Media. Titan Media sued someone for sharing a supposed Dire Straits concert that actually turned out to be, another adult movie. So I don't know how, you know, obviously the gal was downloading something probably she shouldn't have been in the first place. But at the second point, she wasn't trying to infringe on the specific company, but they set up a honeypot and renamed files and we're serving those up. To me, it smells like entrapment. I just don't see how this lawsuit can go forward. But they're asking for $1,875. If she doesn't settle, they're going to increase it to $3,375. And so this gal has appealed to the court over this. So I guess what I should do is, maybe this is a new business model, right? I'll shoot a video of me sitting here in my chair, and I'll copyright the thing, and then I'll put it up on the internet, and I'll name it some artist name and unseen content, or, you know, just put somebody's top 50 pop hit out, and I'll put it out there, and then we'll put some tracker on, and we'll track who downloads it. When they watch me for 5 minutes, instead of getting some music, we'll just go ahead and sue them, right? Sounds like a new business model, right? That doesn't sound great to all of you. What is up with this insanity? I don't know where it's going to end, and I don't know if it's going to end. Something has to change. Something has to give. And I'm sure many of you say, well, people shouldn't be downloading stuff via peer-to-peer networks. Well, while I won't disagree with that, at the same point, companies should not be allowed to get away with what they're getting away with and this abuse of the judicial process. All right, for years, let's move on here. At least for years, we have not had to pay sales tax when we purchase stuff through Amazon, right? Now, if you go over to Walmart's website and buy something on the Walmart website, you pay for sales tax. That's the reason is because Walmart has literally a Walmart in every corner. They're building one down the hill from me. You guys know I'm not a big Walmart fan. And because I feel it destroys local businesses. So what's going on now is there's a growing sense among state and federal lawmakers that the online sales tax reprieve, once meant to support and nurture a fledgling industry, is now on a chopping block. And that the $34 billion in annual sales that Amazon makes, they should not be exempt any longer from paying sales tax. Lots of states are complaining and wanting to get a taste of this money. Yeah, it's here in Hawaii. They're taxing us to death. They're killing us. It's unbelievable what's going on here. They don't know how to stop spending money in this state. So, you know, they've been looking at more ways to collect more money. And so they feel, many of these states feel, that they can get billions of dollars, in some states millions of dollars, out of starting to tax online purchases. And that's not just Amazon, but anybody that sells anything. So, you know, we've heard about this rumbling for years about this, but it's getting a lot more, you know, I guess more pedal to the metal when it comes to this type of activity. So what's going on is that Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, says he plans to introduce a bill called the Main Street Fairness Act, mandating that all businesses collect the sales tax in the state where the consumer resides. So, Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, I don't know who he's got as a co-signer on this, but I think what you need to do is you need to pick up the phone, you need to call the senator's office, especially if you are a constituent of Illinois, and you need to complain to him and say, you don't want this. And, but they're so desperate for money, most states are, they are going to go to every extreme to take every tax penny they can out of our pockets. And, you know, for me, it would be like devastating. It really would have to, it just costs that much more because usually I can, you know, I can split the difference on buying stuff online. Sometimes I get it cheaper shipped out here than buying it local, but that extra, you know, 5 or 6% that I'm going to have to pay here may make the difference and may, you know, force me not to buy online as much. But I don't know. What do you guys think about this? Is it time has come? Do you guys mind? Do you care? Do you think this is appropriate? You know, where do you lie on the thought process on this one? Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Hey, the any of you country boys out there or country gals that are listening, if any of you take your pets or even you that take your animals out and you go to the park or if you take them out walking with you or go to the woods, Garmin has a new GPS. It's called the Astro 320. And what it does is it straps to your dog's neck and you turn it on. And what this does is it tracks your dog's in a 9-mile radius of where he's at. And you have a little hand device that goes along with it that basically can tell you where your dog's at. So with, as long as your dog doesn't go outside of a 9-mile area from where you are, you're able to track your animal. Now, when I was growing up, it was nothing better than to go. There was certain hunting that we would do at night with dogs. We would tree raccoons, different types of animals. They use dogs in duck hunting. And basically, these dogs go out, flush the ducks up. And, of course, the hunters then have a shoot at the ducks, of course. And then basically, some of these dogs are very, very expensive. And the hunters don't want to lose them, of course. So this is a new a new tech item for your doggy, whether it be a hunting animal or not, whether it may be just your local, your pet. You put this on him to as you're out and about and let him kind of run free. So he, because he gets too free and goes too far, you'll be able to track him down where he's at. So cool product by Garmin Astro and their 320 GPS. It's not cheap. $650 is what it's going to set you back for the two devices. Google has launched their Google Plus One button. I have not introduced this to my website yet. I'm just kind of seeing how it goes. But you may be interested in drumming up some additional visitors by putting the Plus One code on. Relatively easy to set up. But, you know, we're getting a lot of buttons on our websites. you know, I've got the tweet button. I got the Facebook recommend. I've got, you know, all this other stuff. And I think we're all becoming a little buttoned out a little bit. But this is something new that's available. And I'll have the link up to this in the show notes for you. There is a lot of advancements being made in film and documentaries. Now, I have never had the opportunity to go to Africa and basically, you know, be as a, go as a tourist and see the, you know, the giraffes and see the elephants and, you know, everything else that you get to see when you go to Africa. And, it's always been a dream of mine to go and, you know, just on a tour, not a hunting tour, but just to go as a tourist. And, you know, we've all seen the stuff on National Geographic. We've seen all the cool stuff that's out there for, you know, from a content perspective, but there's a new tool that they're using. We've seen those, flying micro drones, those little mini drones that you've maybe seen at the park, adults have them. They're not inexpensive. They're pretty pricey. But filming animal documentaries are now going to new levels because they're attaching cameras to these devices. So they're able to take off and they have a feedback system so they can see where it's flying. They can fly them over the animals, get down, get eye level, get close in their natural habitat. Of course, and this thing's sitting over here buzzing. And I'm sure the elephant's like, okay, that's annoying. But, you know, they show how this thing's being used. Staying above herds and so forth, where they, you know, used to have to fly helicopters over the top. So a little less intrusive, but they're using a Microdrome MD-1000 quad rotor, filming some pretty good coverages and stuff in Kenya. I have a link up in the show notes. It just is, to me, is really cool. And I can see these things now going to be, they'll be flying around and people being used these in a lot of different ways and catching great opportunities and some angles that you would never get with a video camera. And it's, the thing is, it's all, you know, relatively priced inexpensively so that someone that's a semi-professional could do this. I think the rig that I was, you know, I was looking at the cameras that they were using, a couple thousand dollars for the whole rig. And, but, you know, to be able to, that's a lot cheaper than renting a helicopter for a day. That's for sure. So link will be up to this in the show notes as well. Have any of you picked up this new book, Area 51, An Uncensored History of America's Top Secret Military Base? I think I'm going to pick this up on Audible and actually use this as one of my next selections on Audible. But the there's some new theories being put forth on Area 51. And one of the theories being basically promulgated by this new book is that what really happened in Roswell and what's really at Area 51 was captured Russian military hardware that was designed post-World War II, that was advanced for its time. That and it, I'll let you guys go through and read this, but, you know, there's all kinds of theories out there, and I guess this is another one. But have any of you read this book? Is it any good? I haven't read the reviews on it. First exposure I've had to it is today. But the book is by Annie Jacobson, and again, it's her spin on Area 51, at least one of the theories of what's going on up. Well, who knows what's going out there, but the whole Roswell incident and everything else tied into it. Okay, Groupon has filed for a big IPO, and they're getting ready to go after some cash, You know, here's the amazing thing. They just raised like $950 million this spring. So now they want to go get some more money. I'm like, where did they spend all their money? $950 million? How did they spend it all? Well, what they did was they gave a lot of it to their investors and people internal in the company. I'm like, is this legal? So they filed an S-1 filing. And they booked $644 million in revenue in the first quarter of this year after generating $713 million last year. Compared to $30.47 million in 2009, it sold 28 million deals in the first quarter, almost equal to the $30.2 million sold last year. They've got currently 83.1 million subscribers as of March 31st. You know, any deal that we've tried to get on Groupon, we've never got because it's been like either not enough people, I guess it's Hawaii or something. But only of the 83.1 million, only 15.8 million users actually bought at least one deal. And it boasts about 56,000 merchants as of the first quarter. So lots of juicy details in here about the company. Again, you and I will never be able, unless we're an accredited investor. And you have to make a lot of money to be an accredited investor. None of us will probably ever get in us, or at least some, those of us that, you know, if you're at the same wage scale as I am, we're not ever going to be in the area. We're going to be able to get some of that stock on that IPO. The rich get richer, folks. Can Apple make the cloud work for consumers? Well, they have announced here essentially that they've got four of the major music carriers on board. And initially iCloud is going to be free. You're going to be able to upload your music like you can over at Amazon. Ultimately, I think it's going to cost about $25 a month. But what's being asked is, can iCloud work after MobileMe essentially failed? And because the analysts think that Apple is so focused, being centric around the devices, that because cloud stuff requires the center to be at the cloud instead of on the device, that they don't know if Apple's ever going to be able to bridge that. So we'll have to see next week how they execute this, how the syncing's going to work, and if the master control is going to be in the cloud instead of down on the device. For like, you know, especially what we see with MobileMe is bookmark syncing issues and all this other stuff, because again, Apple tries to force the device to be primary, whereas in a cloud experience, really the master needs to be in the cloud, and everything else, you know, gets fed down from that. So, you know, they're wondering if there can be a change of DNA at Apple to really let this succeed. So we'll see what happens during the announcement next week at WWDC. Okay, YouTube is adopting Creative Commons, and this is a pretty big deal. And what they're going to do is they're going to make it easy for you now to find Creative Commons videos on YouTube. So if you want to get like a picture, someone's taking a video of a flag, or you know, something where you need a clip where you could cut something into a video that you're doing, and the folks have made that put a Creative Commons license on it that allows you to share that clip to be edited into something that you're doing. This is big. So you're going to be able to use this within the video editor that's on YouTube itself. So YouTube's catalog of Creative Commons clips is being seeded with more than 10,000 videos from partners like C-SPAN, Voice of America, Al Jazeera. But also users like me now have the ability to publish any of our videos under Creative Commons by simply selecting the license as an option during the upload process. So that's all being changed. And I've actually, since an incident last year, most of my stuff we've had a restricted copyright on. But I may be willing at this point, since the thunder of what happened last year is over, maybe be willing to reopen my videos to Creative Commons. Boy, Facebook is when you have as much money as Facebook does and as many lawyers as you do, you don't want to file a lawsuit against Facebook and not expect every stone to be overturned. But earlier today, Facebook did a new filing in the Siegel case. This is the guy that says he owns half of Facebook. And what they were able to do was they went back to Harvard and asked Harvard to pull archives and get Mark Zuckerberg's emails off there. And what they're finding is that the original emails that have come off the Harvard server from March of 2004 are significantly different than the emails that was being published by this guy that's claiming that he owns 50% of Facebook. Not even close to being the same. And that, to me, smells big trouble for this guy that filed that lawsuit. But we live in a digital world. And digital bits are cheap to store, and Harvard hadn't thrown Mark Zuckerberg's email away, so they were able to pull the original emails off the archive there. And boy, they've come out swinging, and they have, let's say, 10, 11, 12 different investigators checking into this guy's background and everything. Whew, that's some probing that none of us would want to go through, that's for sure. Because if you have anything that you've done in your life that's not been good, they're going to find it. It's like running for president. You run for president, they are going to go through your closet, your sink, your drains, everything. It's they leave no stone unturned. All right, Apple is saying that we cannot give away a free iPad or an iPhone in a contest. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to go give away, starting next week, we're probably going to give away an iPhone, not an iPhone, probably give away an iTouch or something like that. I can't afford to give away an iPhone. But Apple is saying that the guidelines for third-party promotions, meaning that they're telling people they can no longer offer contests and promotions where the prize is a free iPad or something of that nature. Specifically, the guidelines state iPad, iPhone, and iPhone gift cards may not be used in third-party promotions. iPod Touch is only allowed to be used in special circumstances and require a minimum purchase of 250 units. You may not use a Myriad Set font or on or in connection with websites, products, packaging, manuals, or promotional advertising materials. The use of free as a modifier in any Apple product, referenced in a prominent manner, headline, call-outs, etc. is prohibited. You must submit all marketing materials related to the promotion of Apple products to Apple for re-review. You can't have a contest that gives away an Apple product. Why not? So maybe I'll have to give away something that's in the Droid area or Chrome or what is up with that? Why? I don't see under what legal basis, if I buy a product and say, I want to give that to you as a contest, that they can't stop me from that. What if I open it up and turn it on one time and put it back in a package? It's technically used, right? So I'm giving away a used product? Unbelievable. And hopefully we'll get some more clarification. Very, very sketchy. We'll see. All right. All right, let's move on here. Copyright Office joins Let's Make It Illegal Streaming a Felony. Okay, so what's going on here? At issue is a proposal from IP Enforcement Czar, backed by the White House, to upgrade illegal online streaming from a misdemeanor to a felony. The government current threat treats unauthorized reproduction and distribution as a potential felony, giving it leeway to go after certain kinds of website operators that offer access to full downloads of music and movies. Streaming is a little different. This is what we're doing right now. I'm streaming this show live. This is an online stream. It's not necessarily reproduction distribution. This is a performance. And such unauthorized public performances are currently held to a different legal standard. And the Copyright Office wants to make anything that I do on this show, where we produce show something that is of copyrighted nature, to make that a felony. Go to jail. And this is backed by the IP Enforcement Czar and the White House. Hey, let's take care of a little more business here and take care of one more bill before we end the show. Hey, who's watching your home when you're not there? Help protect your home with a security system monitored by ADT. ADT is a leader in home ADT is a leader in home security. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, right now. Call and get $850 of equipment and activation for free. I want you to call 1-866-778-3127. That's 1-866-778-3127. Here's a disclaimer. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring at $35 to $99 per month. Call for terms and conditions and license numbers. So again, we want you guys to be safe. We want you to be protected. We guys want you, hope you'll support our new sponsor here, ADT. And they got a great service. They really do. We've been digging in a little deeper. Anna McCaskey at over at RVNN is going to be talking with the folks from ADT and doing an interview and getting more deep into their product line. We'll bring that to you here soon and so that you can do a review on it. But if you're interested in an alarm system and getting this $850 worth of equipment basically for free for that minor $99 installation fee, all we want you to do is pick up the phone and dial 1-866-778-3127, or you can basically visit geeknewscentral.com, click on the ADT link, take you to the website, and basically you're going to be presented a form that kind of looks like this, and it gives you some more details, talks about the pricing, talks about the equipment that you'll get for this special plan that's been offered up exclusively for our listeners, and we hope that you will definitely check that out. So we thank you for ADT for being a sponsor here. All right, last few articles here. Microsoft has detailed the specs for Windows 8, and they've showed off the hardware, and they were even showing it off with an ARM processor, which was pretty cool. Now, this was a demo mode. It was a demo at D9, and so that pretty much surprised everyone, but also, obviously, the new systems coming out can run on ARM or on a standard Intel chip, but the specs have been released and talked about, and 6 tips that you want to know about. Oops, where is it? Did I miss something here? Did I lose an article? Oh, that's not good. Because I had some cool stuff about. Okay, here are 10 things you need to know about Windows 8. Windows 8 will support system on a chip architecture, meaning tablets and other devices. Windows 8 will be backwards compatible. Windows 8 start screen can be disabled, and you'll be able to go to more like a Windows Phone type of interface. Windows 8 applications will run in Metro UI. Windows 8 will be the most touch-capable OS on the market. We'll see about that. Yeah, I think Apple's got some pretty touchable OS. Windows 8 native apps will be web capable. Windows 8 makes Aero Snap more important than ever. Windows 8 will have built-in App Store. And obviously, Windows 8 is going to be a huge risk for Microsoft, and it's going to look very different when it's released. Time Capsule. If you've been in the market for an Apple Time Capsule, you may want to hold the horses. Reports are surfacing that Apple retail stores are running out of stock of Time Capsule and airport bases, and looks like they're going to be doing a refresh. So they're saying that the new Time Capsule could cache software updates and sync with iCloud. So be aware there. And that's actually pretty smart if they're going to do that, because that's, you know, you take your PC and off you go, and the Time Capsule continues to talk iCloud when you're not home. Good stuff. This whole malware situation with Apple continues to escalate. Apple's doing almost daily updates and trying to protect specific programs. Apple released an update that specifically addressed the malware threat, and they look like they're going to have to do it again because the malware folks are trying to stay ahead of Apple at this point. And they've got a list now of known malware in the file quarantine blacklist. And so there's a list there of those on this particular article over at ArsTechnica.com. But AV providers are also working hard to stay ahead of what's going on there. So just be careful out there, Mac users. You guys are under attack. If you live in California, schools can expel students for sexting. And this is on the grow here. But there has been an amendment to the California Education Code, and basically the school can only expel a student while they're on school grounds, while going to or coming from school, during the lunch period, during or while going to or coming from a school-sponsored activity, So if you get caught sexting and you're doing those activities in and around the school, you can be expelled for, I guess, for up to a year. So be aware of that. And of course, we just have to keep on educating our kids. This is just an unbelievable story out of digitaltrends.com. A Chinese teen had sold a kidney for an iPad 2. I'm thoroughly disgusted. I mean, selling a kidney for an iPad 2. Now, he did get $3,084 and the iPad 2. That's just amazing. Who's buying those? Probably Westerners are probably buying these kidneys. Rich Westerners. Wow. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up pretty much from there. I do have a few more things, a few more space articles. But we want, of course, want to bid farewell to Endeavor. Endeavor landed at KSC, and on time on runway 15, marking its 24th night landing. And Endeavor now is done, and it's going to be on its way soon after deservicing to its new home. I think this one's going out to, I think Endeavor's going to California. But beautiful picture from KSC after landing. It was a night landing. And great mission by the team there. So we got one more to go. We're going to be launching here in July, and look forward to that. Okay, let me go ahead here and get into the. I got some emails to read you, and we're going to. Oh boy, am I still online on? I don't think I'm online on Ustream anymore. Well, we'll see what's going on here. Switch. No, I don't want to do anything. That's maybe I'm off on Ustream. I'm just looking at the little pop-up here, and it's giving me a warning. Let's talk about. Boy, that sucks. I didn't even know that was going on. Let's talk about the contest. Okay, I got three entries for our prediction for 20 years. So you guys that submitted stuff, you got a great chance to win a great prize on Monday. Here's the first entry from Robert. Todd, some predictions for 20 years from now. Personal electronic devices will have shrunk to small enough levels that they can be applied as tattoos. People will have the choice of a permanent temporary one for storage and processing, along with an easily removable and replaceable thin film display that can be adhered on top. The tattoos will be powered by body heat, and the displays will be powered by kinetic energy. These devices will be powerful enough that it will no longer be necessary to utilize centralized sites such as Facebook or Twitter for distributing personal information. Information will be shared on a peer-to-peer basis. When you need additional processor or storage capacity, it will be borrowed from the unused capacity of friends in your social network. Some of the former big brand names will have tried for a fee commercial version of that, but none would be able to compete with the free model pioneered by users who could jailbreak original lockdown models of their tattoo devices. Due to the rash of security breaches and increased success of the system, they have migrated from a centralized distributed model. Most credit agencies will have converted over to peer-to-peer one-time use payment systems. In addition to the commercial transactions going through these systems, there will be just as many direct person-to-person transactions. Due to the attempts of media distributors to hold on to their old methods for far too long, almost all media will be delivered over the peer-to-peer network via transactions from the content producers to consumers. Content will still be protected such that each copy can only be played by one person transferred to another person. Laser eye surgery will be preventative instead of corrective. Rob, and that's his 20-year prediction. Next one is from Bruce. Where will we be in 20 years? Well, if you look at the generation uptake of technology-breaking technicians, the act of sending cards, for whatever reason is being eroded, at least we can leverage the green agenda to support the demise of greeting card industry. This is linked to generational demographics. Following this line in 20 years' time, buttons, physical key operated devices should be a thing of the past. Gesture-oriented input, probably voice or neural integration, will dominate the way we interact with all devices and appliances. The biggest change should be on the back of BYOC, bring your own, pushing Cube dwellers into the comfort of their own home. Appreciate that some manufacturing elements need to remain workplace oriented, but everything else normally associated with office life will be cloud-based, and the notion of the office should be a distant memory opens up a whole new home/workplace sitcom for Steve Carell. By then, all of your appliances and devices will act as part of your network, and that the integration process flow control signals will significantly impact general life. Whatever product you run out of, milk, blanks, CDs, or anything would be resupplied according to your predefined inventory. But most of all, whatever we think will be in play 20 years from now will in fact be seen in 10 years or less. Regard, Bruce in UK. P.S. RFIDs in your food, a bit too much to swallow. Okay, and the last 20-year prediction comes from Thomas. He says, I think 20 years from now, the internet will be everywhere. It's almost is already, but in the future will be very hard to disconnect. Accessing data will be almost as easy remembering facts. We'll no longer carry cell phones or other computing devices. Computing power will be built into everything from our vehicles to our clothes and pencils and even our contact lenses. While walking, we'll be able to use our laser retina implanting eyewear to browse virtually any augmented reality. And everyone will text while driving because the vehicles will steer themselves. So we've got Thomas's entry, we have Bruce's entry, and we have Robert's entry. Send your emails into geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and let me know which one of these three individuals should win our prize on Monday. And feel free to comment about their comments as well. I got an email here from Derek. Say, hey, Todd, this is starting to get serious. Couple this with the fact that Lockheed cyber attacks is claimed to have originated within China. It talks about this BBC article where apparently the Defense Department said, hey, if you attack us cyberly, that's just like attacking us with a weapon. So, and I think this email from Derek, and Derek is out of, where are you out of? You are in Glasgow. Oh, thank you so much for your feedback there, Derek, as well. I got an email here from Lamar. He said, Todd, I noticed you mentioned the Russian group were able to crack into the iOS device via a 4-digit code. Doesn't the user have the ability to use a longer passcode? Question mark. Are there any results for users with longer passcodes? Lamar, I don't know. We'll have to see if we can find out about that. Last email is from Smash. Hey, Todd. Or this was from Steve. Todd, I was expecting a completely different story about the 25% who have MAD online calls. Wink, 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 Steve. Yep, there was a typo in the show notes. There always is. Everyone, that's the wraps it here. And a little long, but send your votes in again for Robert, Bruce, and Thomas. And we'll have a winner for one of those three on Monday and give them a cool prize. Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can call the voicemail hotline at any time. And, I never brought the camera back. That was dumb. Call the show hotline at 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365, and again, geeknews@gmail.com. Everyone have a great week. Everyone take care, and we'll see you on Saturday for the Saturday Morning Tech Show. Aloha.